Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
They're going to kill the love of my life.
Casey!
If I don't go back to what I was doing.
This Friday.
Our line of work is quite brutal and quite ruthless.
How far would you go for love?
You steal a truck, bring it to me, then you make your money.
Is it dangerous?
Of course it's dangerous!
Nicholas Holt, Felicity Jones, with Ben Kingsley and Anthony Hopkins.
All this trouble, all this pain, for love.
Collide, in theaters Friday. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Welcome to the RotoWire DFS podcast. It is a tight end and defense Thursday edition for the week 13 slate, as I am here as always with my man back from his trip, having fun while we were stuck here in the cold weather, you know, just gutting it out. Happy to have him back. I spoke to him yesterday. Happy to have him back today. Again, follow him on Twitter at Statsman22. Mr. Paul Bruno. What's up, Paul? How are you?
Hey, it's good to be with you. Looking forward to tonight's tilt between the Vikes and the Cowboys. I'm expecting win number 11 for my gang and hope they come through in fine style, making this one of the rare Thursday nights where I see a good game, at least from one of the two teams.
Oh, man. I can't even go there. All right, Paul, why don't we just dive right in here to the tight ends and defense? And just the thought of the Cowboys playing tonight makes my heart hurt. All right, Paul, let's look at the tight ends here before we jump into the defenses. Only two guys above 7,000 based on the injury issues with both. I'm assuming you're most likely avoiding both Jordan Reed and Rob Gronkowski.
You know what? I think you have to. I mean, how outstanding was Reed against the Cowboys in a game that he got hurt, actually? He was just on fire. They couldn't find a way to stop him until he got injured. But with the status questionable for this week against a tough Arizona defense, there's no way I'm going near this guy. And the same can be said for Rob Gronkowski. A little part of me is pretty happy that he's having a tough season, because this guy's got such a big mouth, and he's not backed it up this year. And I'm happy to see that. I got to say, I'm tired of this guy's act. He's not something that any kids should be looking up to in terms of role models. I'm really big on that in professional sports. This guy's almost the furthest thing from a role model that I see in the NFL, if I can say that, and I will. Questionable with a back injury. I don't care for either one of these guys because of the injured status.
Wow! Paul Bruno taking shots at Gronk. I love it. Not a Gronk fan.
Nope.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right, Paul, let's get into here and see if you have any other scorching hot takes on any guys, because that is terrific. All right, Paul, why don't we take 6,000 and above? 6,200 to 6,800 is what it ends up working out to this week, because we have Greg Olsen at the lower than normal price of 6,200 up to Tyler Eifert taking on my sad sack Eagles at 6,800. Who in this range jumps out to you? Any of these four guys with Graham and Kelsey sandwiched between?
Well, I think I like Kelsey as a standout in this quartet. For $6,300, he faces an Atlanta team that it ranks 32nd in terms of pass defense. That's last for those people at keeping score. And he, for his part, ranks top three in terms of receptions and targets among tight ends. So that's a screaming hot value for $6,300 and far and away the best one in this quartet. I'm not too interested in either of the other three, because Graham, Olsen, and Henry, they all face tougher defenses, and I think there'll be primary concerns for those defensive schemes.
Yeah, I agree that Kelsey's probably my favorite here, but I would probably play Graham as well. Carolina's actually struggled against tight ends so far this season. and with the potential for Luke Kuechly to be out again, potentially that could be a better matchup than expected. But Eifert and Olsen definitely not doing it for me this week. Paul, why don't we go from 5,000? Let's split it up here as we go from 5,800 down to 5,500. Give us a chance to look at a few names separately here. We've got Hunter Henry up at 5,800. Down to Cameron Brait at 5,500. Any of these four guys in here or five guys in here? No, four guys in here. Interest you?
Well, unlike the top half where I didn't give you many to think about, I'll give you three that I like in this range. Yesterday we talked about the Detroit-New Orleans matchup where I think it's going to be a big shootout. I'm on both tight ends in this range. For 5,700, I make the case for Eric Ebron against the Saints defense. Take advantage of that strong pass offense against the weak defense. It's that simple, and the same goes for his opposite number. That would be Kobe Fleener of the Saints against the Detroit Lions for 5,500. Those are two great picks in this range. And I also like in between them Cameron Brait for $5,500. This guy's been a touchdown machine with five TDs, ranking second among all tight ends in the NFL. And he has a chance to be busy again against the suspect and a low-ranking San Diego defense. So I can make the case for three of them in this range.
I love the break call, Ebron calls well. Fleener scares me, but it is a good matchup. Detroit has been terrible against the tight end. So I agree. I could see starting any of these three guys. I think Brait is my favorite, but all three strong plays this week. Paul, let's go from 5,400 down to 5,000 here. We've got Kyle Rudolph facing off against here, Dallas Cowboys. Down to C.J. Fedorowicz and the Houston Texans taking on Green Bay. Any of these guys pique your interest?
Well, I'm going to say Rudolph is definitely on my list of considerations this week. I think the Vikes will be playing catch-up early, and he's going to be one of their most consistent threats in a limited pass offense. So that's why he's going to see a lot of targets in this game and maybe a lot of them in garbage time as well. Below him, I could make the case for Antonio Gates, but which one are we going to get? I'm kind of confused by the usage of the Charger tight ends. Looks like looking for Gates to get back on the roll that was interrupted last week. And then, of course, if you want to insert a drum roll here, I wouldn't mind. Jason Witten for $5,300.
Shocker.
The Vikings defense, hardly dominant of late, and I like this value based on potential of volume of targets, first and foremost. And then below that, I ripped on Gronk. I think you can make a case that Martellus Bennett is primed for a big day against the Rams, with Gronk being less than 100%, maybe not even dressed. I think Bennett's touches go up, and he is a big factor in that game on Sunday.
Of course you pick Jason Witten, and I love how you pick Kyle Rudolph but find a way to pick him going against your Cowboys, but then say, oh, he'll do great in garbage time and whatnot. Like, very, very slick move by you, Paul Bruno. Well done. I'm on your game. I like Kyle Rudolph as well. I think he will put up some points, whether in garbage time or not, to be determined. I don't hate Zach Ertz at 5,300 just because I think he's guaranteed a certain amount of volume because there is literally no one else to throw the football to other than Darren Sproles and potentially Jordan Matthews. We'll see if he's healthy enough to play. They think he will be, but who knows. Agree with the Bennett call. Love it. I like Fedorowicz against Green Bay as well. He was quiet last week, and Brock Osweiler is so terrible, so it's hard to have any faith putting anyone he's throwing to in your lineup, but Fedorowicz has been a part of the offense, and for the price against a bad defense, has the opportunity for some upside. Paul, any home run plays 4,500 to 5,000 there?
Well, there's a couple. One that I really like. I'll save that for last. I'll go with Vance McDonald of the 49ers. He's averaged 8.1 FanDuel points per week. He's at Chicago this week, and he's led the Niners receivers in productivity over the last two games. So it seems like he's got a good rapport going with Colin Kaepernick, who really hasn't had a lot of success with too many other players on that roster. So McDonald can continue that based on the familiarity and cohesiveness that he's established there. But the one that I like a lot more than that is Vernon Davis of the Redskins. He's at Arizona. I know that's a tough defense to play against, but with Reed banged up, I think Davis has a chance to continue a streak that has seen him pick up at least 9 FanDuel points in 5 of the last 6 games. So that's pretty good value at $4,600.
Yeah, Vernon Davis is my play as well. That was the clear play for me. I think at 4,600, he's probably worth playing, even if Reed is quote-unquote active, as he's going to see time. But I think there's a good chance that Reed is inactive, in which case, regardless of the matchup, for 4,600, for a guy that athletic and that, you know, good as a receiver when he's on is certainly worth the gamble. Let me remind fantasy football fans that football is almost over. It's in full swing, which means that FanDuel is here and you got to get in before the season is over because it is better than ever. It's not just a new season at FanDuel, it's a new era, and they've upgraded your entire experience with real improvements for everyday fans. They believe you deserve to experience everything sports has to offer, which makes you sports rich. Try the new FanDuel now. Just pick your team, stay under the salary cap, and have all the fun that fantasy has to offer. New to the game? Play in a beginner contest to learn the ropes. If you have a dollar, there are games for just a dollar. There's 50-50 contests where the top half win cash. You can even settle a score with a friend in FanDuel's brand new Friends Mode. It's season-long fantasy football with weekly teams, plus new features ensure a fair and level playing field. It is just the funnest thing to do each week. I play with my buddies every single week. It's a great way to keep in touch. And, you know, when you win, you get to take their money, which is always a blast. You can have all the fun that football has to offer, all the fun that fantasy football has to offer. At FanDuel, you get to be sports rich, plus a special offer for new users. Get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription with a $10 deposit on FanDuel. Just go to FanDuel.com/RW. Plus, not only do you get the free subscription, you actually get to use that $10 on FanDuel, which is over $40 in value for just $10. It's a hell of a deal. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. Paul, let's flip over to the defenses here as we look at a little whether to spend or not, the question we always run into with those defenses, Paul. So let's look at these defenses at the top of the list here, the ones that you would spend for. We have two at 5,000 or above, the Broncos at 5,000, the Seahawks at 5,100. Are you spending for either?
I make the case for the Broncos in this case. The Jags are minus 15 in the turnover game, and their offense is 23rd in total yards. And we know how good the Denver defense is. They're going to take advantage of that matchup and make for a long day for the Jacksonville offense. And I think they're going to turn the ball over at least a couple of times, sack the quarterback a few times to make it worth the while. And Seattle, I think, is in for a tougher game against Carolina, so I really want to stay away from that one, I think.
Yeah, totally agree. I think Denver is actually one of the better plays on the board, even at the price. Jacksonville, obviously, Blake Bortles has been a mess in that offense. Loves to turn the ball over, as you said, and loves to make mistakes. So against a great defense, love, love, love that matchup. Paul, let's go 4,900 down to 4,500 here. A fair amount of teams in this range as we go from the Texans up to, of course, your Cowboys. What are you doing in this range here, Paul?
Well, I've not seen the Cowboys this high also.
Easily the highest, rankings. I think. Yeah.
And I think you got to make a case that the Vikings offense has a lot to do with it. This is the NFL's worst offense by far, in my opinion. And I think they're facing a very confident Dallas team, and they could be in for a long night, as I've been saying in the last 2 days of these pods. And I think the Dallas defense is going to factor in more than some people might expect. So I think they're good value at $4,900 bucks. Below them, I like the Baltimore defense against Miami. The Dolphins ranked 25th in total offense. The Ravens allowed the second fewest total yards. I look for those kinds of mismatches when I pick my defenses, and this is one of the biggest ones on the board at $4,600. The best mismatch, though, on the board is right with them, the New England Patriots against the LA Rams. This is the best mismatch on the board, in my opinion. The Pats, they looked ordinary last week, in my opinion, against the Jets. And I think they'll be looking to bounce back with a statement here against the 31st-rated offense in the NFL.
Yeah, I really like the Ravens call there. The Ravens D has quietly been potentially the best or one of the best defenses in the league this season without anyone really talking about it. And just got Elvis Dumervil back as well and already making a difference. So I love that play. I agree that I think Dallas will take advantage of a bad Minnesota offense, especially that O-line. But 4,900, I'm a little leery about spending that for a defense that doesn't get a ton of sacks or turn the ball over that often. But definitely a nice matchup there. And I totally agree with the Patriots call there. I think Belichick going up against Goff is going to be interesting. I think he'll be able to take advantage of some of the kids, you know, lack of knowledge. Paul, let's go from 4,400 down to the bottom here. Who are the true blue values? Are there any low price defenses you're rolling with?
Well, You know what? You're going to give me. I should go back and add one more $4,500. I'm going to pick the Pittsburgh defense. The Giants are too one-dimensional for my liking to keep rolling along the way they've been going, and I think they trip up here against the Pittsburgh team that really needs this game as well. Below that, there's only one or other defense you're not going to like this call. I'm picking the Bengals against your Eagles.
Man.
Carson, you know what? I'm a little concerned about this guy's development. It's sagged in the last few weeks since that fabulous 3-0 start. They're on a short week of preparation after that Monday night appearance, and I think they're in for a tough night against that a pretty high octane pass offense that's been dormant the last couple of weeks and might wake up against them.
Now, AJ Green out, Gio Bernard out, no chance. The Bengals are atrocious, Paul. I actually love the Eagles D at 4,300 bounce back performance against a terrible Cincinnati offense, and Carson Wentz is throwing to guys who are worse than you and me. Out there, so you can't blame the kid for that, Paul. But
I had to get something in there to fire you up.
Of course you did. Yeah, it's very very nice of you, Paul. But I do like the Eagles there at that price. I think that's a nice upside play in this range. Other than that, I agree there aren't a ton of super intriguing options here. Though I do potentially, I don't think Cincinnati, I think Cincinnati's a fine play. The Eagles offense has not been that great on the road. Again, that could be a very ugly, low scoring type of game. So the other D that jumped out in this range, same price as the Bengals, but I like them more is the Dolphins. Again, we mentioned that Baltimore defense. I think that game could be a big time defensive struggle. And that Baltimore offense, as we know, other than, 10,000-year-old Steve Smith is not that good. So I think that Miami, which has not been great but has been solid of late, will be able to turn it around. Paul, any final thoughts before we end this Week 13 edition here?
Well, I'm, like I say, I'm excited about the final quarter of the season, looking forward to seeing the playoffs structure shake down a little bit, and I wonder if my boys will hang on for a bye week. That's something I didn't envision at the beginning of the season, and people aren't talking about the NFC least anymore. It's become the best division in football again, and I like that. There's a talent 1 through 4 in that division. Any team can win one year to the next, and I'm happy to say that it's once again the premier division in the NFL, just as it should be.
Yeah, I think the AFC West has an argument, but it's certainly right there as well. It definitely sucks that the Cowboys are at the top of it. Paul, we appreciate it. Listen to Paul tomorrow with Johnny McKechnie, who did a terrific job filling in for Paul while he was out having a great time vacationing around the world as usual. Again, follow him on Twitter at Statsman22. Paul is the best, and I am your host, James Seltzer. Paul and I will be back together next week for the Wide Receiver Wednesday edition. But again, tomorrow, Paul and Johnny McKechnie right here. One more RotoWire DFS podcast for you. So for Paul Bruno, I am James Seltzer. This has been the Week 3 tight end and defense edition of the RotoWire DFS podcast.